Hello, everyone. It's Joanna, and welcome to Sam Magazine. Doing okay? I hope everyone's doing okay. It is Saturday and it is pouring down rain outside. It blows my mind sometimes where I live on this island, how the weather can just do a 360 overnight. But I'm sure I'm not the only one who feels that. I've just seen some weather reports from back east and the snow that New Brunswick is getting. So I have nothing to complain about. Now, last weekend, it was the book launch, the Spy Girls book launch. I did a book signing at Chapters, and it went so well. And in typical fashion, I'm always a little nervous leading up to something like this. But as soon as I got there, I had taken some writing with me, and the Chapters Indigo had a beautiful table set up for me. They had another beautiful display of all three books, and I did really well. I sold a lot of books. I sold more books than I've ever sold before at a book signing. So I'm pretty stoked. Spy Girls is out there. It's always a weird feeling. You know, there's all this preparation. Then there's the day. And then after, boom. It's like everything goes back to normal. So I'm still writing. I'm working on my time travel, and I'm getting really excited about this time travel I'm working on. Book reviews are coming in, and you know, they've been good book reviews, good in many senses, in that action, like this, I didn't think my story was an action-driven novel. But as one book reviewer pointed it out to me, she said it is, right? And she enjoyed the characters. She wanted more from like the bad person. I won't give it away. So I got a lot out of that book review. So I hope you check it out. Like I said, Spy Girls is available on Amazon, in Chapters. And I'm feeling good about it. And I'm glad to be back writing, working on this time travel that I've wanted to write for 3 years. I've got to say lots of thank yous. And for my, I can actually now say that this podcast is listened to worldwide. I checked my stats yesterday, and I've had listeners tune in, of course, from Canada, the US, United States, Australia. And it's even like, it shows me even further that it's Western Australia, Mexico, Denmark, France, Russia, and Turkey. I think that makes me, that I can qualify to say this podcast is listened to worldwide. So I really I didn't care for analytics in school, but I really want to break this down now. And I honestly feel like Alanis Morissette when she sang that her song Thank You, except I'm not naked in the video. Okay, she was naked. Anyways, here we go. So Western Australia, thank you. In my own country, BC, New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, Ontario, Quebec, thank you, merci. In the United States, California, North Carolina, Colorado, Connecticut, Virginia, Florida. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And the other countries, I'm afraid I don't get the statistics broken down further for places like Mexico or Denmark or France or Russia or Turkey. But I say thank you very much. Now, my regular little blurb here, not any part of this podcast can be used for AI training or any other AI purposes. Okay. Now, today's short story, it's Georgie by Nancy Lynn Jarvis. And Nancy, thank you so much for your patience. I had wanted to publish this podcast sooner. I wanted to record it sooner, but I was launching a book. I am working on a graphic novel, and I couldn't get to it sooner. But here it is, and I'm looking forward to reading Nancy's story, Georgie. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Nancy. Nancy Lynn Jarvis wore many hats before she started writing. After earning a BA in behavioral science from San Jose State University, she worked in the advertising department of the San Jose Mercury News as a librarian, as the business manager for Shakespeare, Santa Cruz, and as a realtor. She has written 7 Regan McHenry real estate mysteries, a standalone novel, Mags and the AARP Gang, about a group of octogenarian bank robbers, edited Cozy Food. 128 cozy mystery writers share their favorite recipes, and a short story anthology, Santa Cruz Weird. She is currently working on Pip Inc. Mysteries, a cozy mystery series about a downsized librarian turned PI, and takes up private investigation to earn a living and follow her adventures and romance in The Funeral Murder. Nancy is a member of Mystery Writers of America, Sisters in Crime, and Santa Cruz Women of Mystery. And today I get the honor of reading her short story, Georgie. Okay, so without anything further, Georgie by Nancy Lynn Jarvis. Do I believe in ghosts? I didn't think I did, but some things are hard to explain. When I was a realtor selling my house in Santa Cruz, a couple, mother and son, I thought, because of their apparent ages and resemblance to one another, came to an open house I was having. They dutifully added their names to my sign-in sheet and then looked around the downstairs politely, whispering loudly enough to one another that I could just catch what they were saying about an addition my former husband and I had put on one small room to make it into a family room, and noting the Sotillo tiles we added to the kitchen and hallways. They headed upstairs where there were 3 bedrooms and a bathroom over the garage. Other visitors had left, so I went upstairs to talk to them the way realtors looking for new buyers and sellers at open houses do, and found them in my 5-year-old daughter's bedroom. I was surprised to see that they had the door at the back of her closet open into the small attic storage area behind it that ran over the downstairs kitchen, dining room, and living room. That entrance wasn't something an unfamiliar with the house person would find, let alone open. So I asked them how they knew the house. The woman answered, "My husband and I built this house 30-odd years ago. We didn't have much money, so we built what we could at the time. When the house started out, it was only the downstairs and the garage. My husband and I had what is now your nice family room as our bedroom, and the living room was a dormitory for our 5 children. The dining room next to the kitchen was our living room, and we all squeezed around a table in the kitchen for meals. It sure made life easier when we were able to add the upstairs. Unfortunately, we didn't get to enjoy the additions for long because my husband died and I moved the kids back to Watsonville, where I was from, to be nearer to family. The young man added, "My brother and I shared this room. That's how I knew about the attic entrance. We weren't supposed to go in there, but we did. We'd put our lips against the heating tube and try to make noises like we were ghosts to scare our older brother, who got a room to himself, the ones our parents used to have downstairs."
"I didn't know you two did that," his mother laughed.
"Yeah, we never scared him, though. Too bad we couldn't have piped sound into our sister's bedroom next door. They were younger and gullible and might have believed in ghosts."
"I didn't notice a wedding ring on your finger," the mother observed.
"It's none of my business, and I shouldn't ask, but..."
"Divorced," I interrupted her. She shook her head.
"Again," she said to her son.
"What do you mean?" I asked.
"After we moved out," her son replied, "and I was older, I played soccer with another boy who lived in this house. He said they were selling the house because his parents split up and his mom couldn't afford to keep up the house. He told me they bought it from a family where kind of the same thing happened, only that the dad died like mine had."
"I can tell you have kids because of what's in the bedrooms, so now you're another single woman living in this house with her children," the woman tusked.
"It's like the house always winds up without a man in it." What she told me was a bit unnerving, because when my ex-husband and I bought the house, we laughed that in one of the bedrooms, the one with the hidden attic access, someone had hastily painted around bunk beds without moving them, so the walls were yellow with an obvious bunk bed outline in white, the color the room must have been in the past. We bought it in as-is condition, but I couldn't resist asking the seller's agent, a realtor I knew well, about the paint job. She told me the owner was a house painter who was in the process of painting his daughter's bedroom when he fell off a ladder at work, broke his neck, and that was that. He never finished painting the one wall. His widow had painted around the bed so it looked presentable for her kids and forgot about what she had done until she saw the outline when the family was moving out. We laughed about that at the time, my fellow realtor and I. It didn't seem so funny to me now when I realized I was number 5, the 5th woman to live alone in the house with her children. Selling a house in a normal market, not one where sellers call all the shots, means buyers make offers contingent on home inspections. I knew my house sale was not going to be an exception, so I decided to be proactive and have a house inspection done before I had offers. I hired a home inspector I knew well and trusted to take a look at my house. He'd met me in the kitchen for a preliminary chat about his findings. As he peeled off his coveralls, carefully turning them inside out so as not to shed any cobwebs he had acquired in the crawl space under the house, he said, "Of course I'll give you printed results, but there's one finding I need to tell you about right now. You must have a guardian angel, because when I was in the attic, I discovered frayed electrical wires running through the insulation. Those wires could start a fire any minute. Should have started a fire already. And you need to get them fixed like yesterday. It wouldn't do for whoever's watching out for you to get distracted and have your house burned down." The inspector chuckled. "Now, I don't want you thinking I'm Santa Cruz weird or anything, but I think I saw whoever's watching out for you out of the corner of my eye.
I frowned. What are you saying? Well, I kind of sensed a presence in the attic. When I turned my head to look at it, there wasn't anything or anyone there, but it kept happening, so I finally didn't move anything except my eyes, like this. He demonstrated, shifting his eyes to the right. And when I did that, I swear I saw a man with a big black mustache. Soon as I tried to take a good look at him, he was gone. He laughed in an uneasy way. Yep, you got yourself some kind of guardian angel ghost. That's what I think. I laughed with him, but I felt uneasy too. Oh, not because I believed the part about the guardian angel ghost, but because I took the wiring issue seriously. I immediately called an electrician who had done work for me on a house I sold. I must have been kidding myself, thinking what the inspector said about a ghostly guardian angel not meaning anything to me, because when the electrician came out of the attic, I wanted to ask him if he noticed anything odd in there. I couldn't figure out how to ask, though, without planting a suggestion that might affect his answer. It turned out that I didn't need to ask because he volunteered. You must have some serious good karma working for you. I've never seen such dangerous wiring in my whole life. Something must have been taking good care of you, because some of those wires should have sparked enough to ignite your insulation or your cardboard boxes full of Christmas decorations touching them. When he said that, I risked sounding weird myself and asked a leading question. Did you see anything odd or feel something odd while you were working? I hesitantly inquired. You mean besides the wiring? Nah. He shifted his weight from one foot to the other. Although, now that you mention it, in one place, I did feel some warm air on my neck, almost like someone was behind me, watching me work and breathing on me. I figured you had a damaged or missing shingle on your roof or something like that, that was letting warm air move around in there. That's what you mean, isn't it? He chuckled. I probably do have something like that going on. I laughed too exuberantly. But, I squirmed, you didn't happen to see anyone, a mustache man in the attic, did you? He raised one eyebrow and gave me a curious look. Should I have? No, no, of course not. Someone told me they... I trailed off. Never mind. I felt better knowing my kids and I weren't living in a fire hazard, but I didn't exactly sleep well that night. I kept thinking about what the inspector and electrician had said. A few days later, my youngest and her best friend, the little girl who lives next door, bounced into the kitchen. We need apple juice and peanut butter sandwiches because we're having a party in our tent, my daughter announced. We need cookies, too, her friend Lucy added. Yeah, Mommy, we need cookies, too. Cookies, too? I teased. How many do you think you'll need? Cookies for us and Bunny and Kitty and Elephanty, she named her favorite stuffed animals. And Georgie will want one, too, my young logician said. So lots of them. I took out a plastic plate and started putting cookies on it. Okay, one for each of you and one for Elephanty, because he's big and can eat a whole one. But Kitty and Bunny should share one because they're small. I played along, knowing the girls would be eating on behalf of the stuffed animals and not wanting them to overindulge on sweets. I'll bring up your sandwiches, apple juice, and the cookies in a minute. You are having lunch in your bedroom closet, aren't you? Uh-huh, my daughter replied. Don't forget Georgie. Could we have two cookies for Georgie? Because he's much bigger than Elephanty. I assumed extra cookies for Georgie was a ploy the girls put together to get another cookie for each of them. It was lunchtime, and the caffeine I'd had in my morning coffee had dissipated, and my thought process, letting me make connections, had slowed down a bit. So it took me a few seconds before I quizzed. Georgie? I didn't recognize a stuffed animal with that name. Do you mean Georgie Ghost from the book you two always want me to read you? My daughter rolled her eyes. Georgie Ghost is in a book? Ghosts and books don't eat cookies. I thought you said you wanted cookies for Georgie. Uh-huh. For Georgie. And who is Georgie? Another eye roll was produced. Georgie is Georgie, our friend in the closet. A sudden shiver ran up my spine. Is Georgie there now? The girls giggled. Yeah, he's always there. I raced upstairs, leaving the children in the kitchen. The door to the closet was open wide. I peered inside. I don't exactly know what I expected to find. Am I imagining some menacing pervert who could slip into my attic through some undiscovered opening, who talked to little girls? Or worse, perhaps, but the closet appeared empty. I collapsed, cross-legged on the floor in front of the closet, ready to bar entry into my house from whoever or whatever Georgie might be, and was still staring into the closet when the two little party hostesses came into the room. I don't see Georgie, I said. My daughter shrugged. Could you tell me what he looks like? I asked. He's a grown-up, the little girl from the next door said. He has hair under his nose, my daughter added. Hey, girls, I said as I got back up, let's take lunch next door and share it with Lucy's mom. I quickly hustled all of us next door and whispered a short version of what was going on to Lucy's mother when she came to the door. After she reassured me that she would keep the girls with her and have my son come in too when he came home from second grade, I returned to my house. The first thing I did was call the home inspector. Luckily, I caught him rather than getting his answering machine. Barry, I know you're working on the report for my house, but could you answer a question before the report is ready? Sure. Like I said, you need to attend to the electrical immediately. Already done, I interrupted him. That's not why I'm calling. Did you find anything else? Evidence of a way someone could get into the attic from outside? Barry laughed. Is this about the guardian angel? Sort of. My daughter and a friend of hers have been seeing a man who sounds like what you saw out of the corner of your eye in the attic closet. Barry was silent for what seemed like an eternity. I understand where you're coming from, but no, you don't need to worry. No one's getting inside your house. But you said... And the girls, even the electrician, mentioned feeling something. Did you really see someone? I should have kept my mouth shut. I'm sorry I got you riled up. Look, Santa Cruz is a special place. Sometimes I think we have more than our share of unexplained things that happen here. Sorry, but I gotta go now. I'll put a rush on my report. I felt so many things. Safer, foolish, disturbed. Then another idea occurred to me. I went to my bedroom where I had a work desk and file set up and pulled out the folder for my house. I retrieved the sign-in sheet from my open house and scanned it until I came to Elizabeth and Jacob Fernandez and a phone number. I took a chance and called it. Hello, a woman's voice greeted me. Hi, it's Becky Jones from the open house last Sunday. Is this a good time for you to answer a couple of questions for me? She sounded slightly wary, but said, yes. What was your husband's name? George. Why do you ask? Did he have a mustache? Yes, he did. What would make you ask that? I figured I had time for one more question before I owed her an explanation. Did he like children? Was he a good husband and father? He loved children. He was a great father, and he was a wonderful husband. Becky, what's this about? I hope you take this in the right way. I gulped before I went on. I think his ghost is still in the house you built. I had 3 offers on the house. 2 were from families with children, and 1 was from a couple of older women who had been friends for decades, who were both widowed and hoped to live together and keep each other company. They didn't offer the most money for the house, but I accepted their offer. I didn't want to risk another woman and children being left alone in the house if something happened to the husband, and I figured George would take good care of the widows. The end.
Oh, that was so cool. That was so cool, Nancy. It's wild because my husband and I, we lived in a house. And it was weird because when we bought this house where we used to live, the couple before us, sadly divorced, we moved in. We stayed there for 22 years before we moved, and we moved around a little bit. And then the couple who bought the house from us, they divorced. And God, that's wild. That's wild. What is that saying? Truth is stranger than fiction. That story was a blast to read. Nancy, I really had a great time reading that. And how many of us always thought something was hiding in the closet? You know, when we're growing up, like it was either in the closet or under the bed, right? If you would like to learn more about Nancy Lynn Jarvis and check out her Regan Mysteries, her Pip Inc. Mysteries, any of her other works, events, the services she offers, editing, I'm going to her website. I'm just going to, here we go. Her website, www.nancy. N-A-N-C-Y, Lynn, L-Y-N-N, Jarvis, J-A-R-V-I-S.com. And you know I will have her website in the show notes. Her books are available on Amazon. Everyone, thank you for tuning in. Have a good weekend. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Remember to breathe and think twice now when you go and you look in your closet. Okay, bye-bye.